Welcome everyone to the very first episode of The Mindful Edge. I'm one of your hosts, Cecil Holson II.
I am Dr. P.
And we are going to welcome you both to Mindful Edge. I am a mental health, licensed mental health therapist in the city of Toledo. So that's my role in this particular part of the podcast.
Okay, he was being a little shy. He's more than just a therapist. He is like the dopest therapist ever.
Well, thank you.
I am Dr. P. I am a belonging and leadership performance strategist. I own the Ronald Group, where we house the Resilient Leadership Blueprint and Parents Who Lead. So we just focus on leaders cultivating resilience at their highest performance.
And she's dope at what she does as well. Oh. I've been a part of a few of her leadership classes, so she's dope.
I didn't pay him to say that, I promise.
This podcast is going to be about where mental health meets leadership and resilience. We believe that thriving in life isn't about avoiding hardship. It's about learning how to lead ourselves and others through it with courage, compassion, and truth. That's the Mindful Edge.
So we're going to try to get through this episode without being emotional because it's a tough one. We're going to start at the beginning of our story.
Yes.
And it's shaped by grief, mm-hmm. resilience, strength, courage, all of that stuff. But it shapes us who we are as individuals and the purpose of this podcast. So do you want to start and tell them or do you want me to go?
I'll start. I can start. So about four years ago, May 6, 2021, I lost my mom. The connection between me and Dr. P is my mom, actually, which is the wilder part. So about a year prior, before my mom had passed away, she kind of let me know about a particular person. She was like, "Do you know this particular person?" So she pulled up Instagram and was like, "Do you know this person?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've seen her around the city before. I've been in the rooms with her before. We have been in places before." And she said, "She's your cousin." I said, "Impossible. Right, that's not possible for this person to be my cousin. We have interacted, we have talked,
we play space.
We've been in just different spaces together." So went to, I believe it was something in the city, local organization had I think it was a leader's thing that you were at.
Yeah.
I was in the room and you walked up to me and you said, "I'm your cousin." And I was like, "I know, my mom just told me 2 weeks ago." And ever since then, we have been almost like conjoined twins,
yeah.
We are in the same places, same spaces, and now we have a podcast together. But the grief brought us together, which is wild, because my mom was, as much as we're talking about leaders and we're talking about mental health, that was my mom. She was a community mom. She was the neighborhood mom. My mom was involved in a lot of different things in the city of Toledo. She goes by the name of Cookie. So if you guys are listening to this podcast and know who Cookie is, that's my mom. So she was the person who created me to become who I am today, and allowed me to introduce myself to someone who is going to be along with me on this journey through this podcast and in life. So definitely someone who kept me together.
Oh, goodness. As I am trying to not cry here. So Cookie and I used to talk all the time on Instagram, and I used to kind of joke with her because sometimes she used to share stuff and I would be like, I would inbox her and be like, "Cookie, don't share that."
Exactly.
Or you're sharing too many things in one setting. And I saw her post a picture of Miles, which is Cecil's son. And
yes.
I was like, "Wait a minute. I know that little boy. He plays with Aiden, who mm-hmm. is my son. And my sorority sister was married to Cecil."
Yes.
So we have been in same rooms. And I'm like, I was just at a party with this guy. And she's like, "That's Cecil, my son." And I'm like, OMG. And that's when mm-hmm. I went up to you. But what kind of brings us forward was when Cookie got sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would kind of talk to her. And then I noticed when she was getting sicker because she wouldn't respond mm-hmm. as much. And the last conversation we had was, was her asking me to watch over you. when she's gone. And of course, I promised that I would take care of Cecil. And so from that moment, we have been, like you said, Siamese twins.
For sure.
We've been locked in. And the other fam, because our family is so big. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, Cookie Son. Mm-hmm. That's how they identify him. But to see us to come together and do the podcast, even some of the older aunts and stuff are like, oh my gosh. Because what's really ironic, when I would talk to Cookie, Cookie and my dad were best friend cousins. So my father passed away, and I would hear a lot of the stories, different stories about my dad from Cookie. Mm-hmm. And so here they were, best friend cousins, and, you know, they're with the ancestors looking over us, mm-hmm. and here we are, best friend cousins, mm-hmm. and our sons are cousins' best friend, right? Yes. So that's the beauty of how we came together, and it really fuels this podcast, because we have really good conversations about grief and resilience, and do you think other people are dealing with this? Mm-hmm. Do you think other people have those things? And so that's how we have come to, because we want to help other people.
Correct.
Like we help each other.
Yes.
And so that, you know, we have that. So we probably should, instead of calling this the Mindful Edge, we probably should have called it the Mindful Promise.
Listen.
So let's talk about the grief. Aspect. From a therapist perspective, how has grief impacted you differently, and what role did family have in that grief?
So the fun part about grief is grief shows up as the silent best friend for me. And the reason I call him the silent best friend is before I even drove and showed up to this podcast today, I had to drop some tears. And it wasn't because of anything else but the fact that I just felt I needed to be able to let my mom know what's going on, and I can't. So I call it the silent best friend, because it shows up whenever it wants to, however it wants to, doesn't matter who you're around, where you're around, it's going to show up. And so I've called him my silent best friend. Before I experienced grief, from a therapist perspective, I always thought it was five stages. There had to be five stages of grief,
yeah.
until grief hit me. And I was given went to grief counseling, one session for about 90 minutes. And I think it was probably one of the most powerful sessions I had did in my life as a therapist, or even just as a client.
Mm-hmm.
She handed me a sheet of paper that had I think it looked like a bell curve. And there was a bell curve, and in the other part, it had a bell curve with a Tasmanian devil kind of like everywhere, just scribbled mm-hmm. everywhere. And you're like, what is that? And I'm like, this is me. This is what I feel like. I feel exactly like this. I'm disorganized. I have some depression sometimes. I have some anxiety sometimes. I cry. I don't have an appetite. But in all of that, it kind of like teaches you to become resilient mm-hmm. Through the grief, unfortunately, where now, going into year five, and yes, it feels like year one because it's my mom,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little bit easier to manage. That first year, nobody could have told me anything. I was on autopilot. I was just going to work. I was just experiencing friends. I couldn't really tell you right now what I did for most of that first year.
Mm.
Most of it is kind of just out of my head. But now, where I'm at now, I can cry openly and talk about it. I can hear conversations and have conversations about my mom and still be okay. But the hardest part is wanting the presence,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. having one more moment.
Yeah,
that's probably the hardest part about the grief for me. And then having to process others while dealing with mine.
Yeah.
So people will come in and be like, hey, I know you're good at grief, and we're talking about grief, and I'm looking up at the window of my office, and there's a picture of her holding Miles. And I go, okay, deep breath. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to, I need you right now.
Yeah.
Right. I need you to sit with me and help me with this. And I think that's been the easiest but hardest part,
mm-hmm.
To have her presence spiritually versus having it physically.
Yeah.
It's where my grief is as for me, for sure.
I totally agree with the silent best friend. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I grew up without my dad. My dad died when we were we were young. I mean, my mom was left to raise two kids, you know. And you kind of, like you said, you kind of get through it. It becomes this weird normalcy. Correct. But then when you have those monumental things that happen, you're like, oh, I wonder what they would say, or I wonder what it would be like. You're correct. It's like your mind plays this weird trick on you
all the time,
and your spirit is trying to reconcile the void.
Yes.
So yeah, the whole silent best friend. Oh, we probably need a shirt with that on it too. Look, let's take out the promise silent best friend.
Yes.
But that, you know, when we talk about resilience from a grief perspective, and you even mentioned still having to do, that's like where the leadership piece comes in, because when you're grieving, life doesn't stop. Like, you want it to stop, but it doesn't. And then you still have to perform. You still have to do. You still have to be a parent. You still have to go to work. You have to do all of these things. And so when we talk about grief and resilience, it's that not bouncing back, but more of a spring forward.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. But sometimes when I look at resilience in that way, that's not what the definition says.
Okay. What does the definition say?
The definition says, like, you're always overcoming.
It definitely does not feel like grief at all, but okay.
Right. Yes. And that's what's, you know, when I try to tell people, like, resilience is not always overcoming. It's a springing forward, because you still have to manage grief and expectations and still have to do the things that are going to help you live, right? We still have bills.
Yeah.
So they're hand in hand, but it's hard as hell.
It is. What? Now, if I'm a leader, how am I able to hold space for others when they lose somebody?
Go to grief counseling. No. I always say one of the things I did when I managed my I had faculty, and I always told them at the beginning of the semester, your first job is to take care of yourself first, your family, and the job comes last.
Okay.
Because I knew from my own experience, having to deal with a lifelong of grief, that I need, because there would be moments I need to take care of myself.
True.
And so a leader needs to allow space for their employees to be able to take care of themselves. If that's a day off, if that's I see something's going, go for a walk, go to the bathroom if you need to, do what you need to do, because the work is always going to get done.
Correct.
I mean, we always say, and we see it on memes, and I saw it in real person, if something happens to someone, the first thing that I'm going to do as a leader, okay, this report is due tomorrow. Who's going to fill in?
Makes sense.
Knowing that the work is going to get done, allow your people to be what they need to be, because then they'll do what they need to do.
Okay. Now, from a therapist's perspective, I'm going to say, what about EAP?
Definitely.
Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I would always have HR on speed dial.
Okay.
And I would always keep EAP resources in the office. And then there are sometimes, so this is part of the out-of-the-box leadership that a lot of, which I think separates excellent leaders from just good leaders.
Gotcha.
And all the HR folks are probably going to be up in arms. They're going to be sending emails after this, but okay, whatever.
We're going to answer those emails.
Okay, yeah, we'll answer your emails. Sometimes as a leader, if I knew that my staff maybe felt the stigma of what it would be to see EAP or to say they were having a mental health something, I would say, go ahead, take the day off. Go ahead and go. We don't got to tell nobody. Just go ahead and do what you need to do.
Okay.
Because at that moment, my responsibility was to them as a human and not to the organization. Okay. And I'll be honest, sometimes that got me in trouble, but I didn't care.
Got you. Okay.
Because I wanted those people to know in that moment, I care about you more than the bottom line.
So for all the listeners, EAP is employee assistance programs, which most employers have. You get about a couple, six free sessions to mm-hmm. kind of see a therapist that they have on staff or they have on standby that you can go see. And then after you decide you want to keep the therapist, you're allowed to keep that therapist after those first six sessions. So just so everybody kind of knows what employee EAP stands for. I don't want anybody to think, well, they keep seeing EAP and names.
What is EAP?
Yeah, so EAP is employee assistance programs, and most employers have those.
Yeah, it just kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, and that's why I started the Ronald Group. Because I wanted leaders to be, I mean, not that I have a big ego or anything, more like me. I wanted them to be more human-centered.
Okay.
Especially now in 2025, going into 2020. We need to be more human, people-centered.
Yes.
Because we're the one that, at the end of the day, are going to make really sound decisions.
Yes.
And if someone's not in a good place, then... you know, those decisions can impact so many.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think as I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, I've been a leader before. I don't think I had anybody experience any grief. Oh, I did, actually. I don't know what I did, though. I think I might have let them take the day off because I think it was one of those moments where right now I got to sit with you. I want you to feel safe.
Yeah. Right?
And I want you to feel like you have someone to lean on.
Because mm-hmm.
Once you lose somebody, that's what you're looking for the most.
That
just,
is
just someone to lean on.
A hug would go a long way.
Just a human.
Yeah, just a human to just say, I got it. Or even if they don't understand, to say, you know what, I'm sorry.
Correct.
And I'm sorry will go a longer way than, oh, it's been so many, you should be over it. You're never over it. It's with you for, like, literally
ever.
Forever. It's like DNA. It's
it
like
is.
A new type of silent best friend DNA.
And here's the even wilder part is you literally change into a new person after you lose someone.
Yeah.
And no one talks about the personality loss of who you were before to who you are now. And so I think when you're a leader and you have to understand when someone loses someone, they're not going to be the same worker they were before.
No.
So they get a new worker, you get a different worker, hopefully more who's more efficient, but you get a different worker as well because they lost who they were. They lost a part of them. So just a reminder for some of those employers out there.
And as I'm sitting here, I'm like, wow, we sound like we're really like we're doing good things.
We are.
Because sometimes, you know, life hits you and you're just second guessing so much. But I will say, I think Cookie and my dad, Ronnie. That's where the Ronald Group comes from, by the way. I named it after my dad. I know they're proud of us because who would have thought? And this is the one thing people say, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like in that moment that you're experiencing grief, that is the last thing you want to hear.
Please don't tell me that.
Yeah, do not tell me that. But as time progresses, you can kind of see like, oh, I can kind of see how me having to deal with this is going to help someone because life is cyclical.
Yes.
Things are cyclical. Energy is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything we wanted to experience. I would literally give, and you know how I am about my nails. I would give like two of my fingers to be able to just see my dad again, like just to touch him and all of those things. And so those are some of the takeaways we want leaders to, and just people in general, just to have hope during the hard time.
Yeah. 100%.
Because it'll come, and we'll be honest with you, it's not going to come in 2 weeks. It's not going to come in 4 weeks. Your time is your time.
Correct.
But you will see glimpses of hope.
I always say the year before, if someone would have told me May 6, 2020, I had a year left, I would have been like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And to know a year later that your life changes completely is not the easiest thing. So I feel like people have to understand, once you lose someone and you're working a job, it's a balance for yourself.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid to ask for help and ask for support, because once you're sitting in it silently, it can get heavy by yourself.
Yeah, the silence is not your best friend. It can be an enemy to your growth, to getting to that road of hope, cultivating that resilience. So if we can say anything, find you a human best friend.
Yes.
Someone you can lean on,
for sure.
Someone you can hug, and someone you can talk to.
So far we've talked about my mom and we've talked about your dad. How about us? Like, how do we how do we feel like we've intersected and it's worked for us?
Oh, goodness. I would say it's a daily trek.
Okay.
I infuse it in all of my work.
Okay.
It is something that I feel is missing. It's missing in how we, you know, me being the leadership person, it's missing in how we discuss leadership, how we train leaders. And I always like to say how we empower leaders.
Okay.
Because and I always tell clients, this is where I get in trouble again. As you guys can see, I'm probably going to be the troublemaker on this podcast. Because companies want to make money. There's the bottom line. But your people, you can't work your people to the bone.
Correct.
You can still, I'm a firm believer, you can still achieve your bottom line if your people are operating at their optimal performance level.
Very true.
And the only way people can operate at their optimal performance level is if they feel valued, if they feel supported, and if they feel they're contributing their best.
Okay.
If you don't have those things, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Okay.
And that's how I weave in the mental health and wellness with the leadership, and that's how we get the cultivating resilience.
Nice. I like that.
We're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we want you to take away from this episode that you can fast forward through this, and not fast forward as you're going to speed through from 1 week to week 10, but you can begin to cultivate the resilience by, one, getting you a human best friend, two, talking it out. Because you will need someone there,
mm-hmm,
right?
For
someone
sure.
there to be able to hold your hand. And sometimes that someone could be just to be able to sit with you. And we want you to know, too, that trouble doesn't last always.
No.
That's where your mom, my dad, our grandparents, that is like one of their favorite things. Trouble doesn't last always.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want you to know that it doesn't last always, but in the midst of it, whatever you learn is going to catapult you to your purpose.
Correct.
And that's how Cecil and I are here.
Yes. As I take this deep breath before I say this, I think that it has been a very interesting journey. Experiencing grief for me, we would say year four, and I still cry like it was year one. I know that I've been a leader myself and had to experience grief and had to take time off. And so I think it's remembering that you are human as well when you're a leader who experiences it yourself.
Yes.
So as you are helping others as well, make sure that you're checking in with self. Because if you're not checking in with self, you're kind of missing the mark as a leader, kind of like just boss. You're just a robot at that point.
Yeah.
So if you're not checking in with yourself, because you may have lost someone, a coworker, a mother, a grandmother, a father, an uncle, check in with yourself and make sure you're being as human as you are giving humanness out.
Yes.
Because you cannot become the robot at the job because, yeah, I lost someone. I figured it out. I was able to push through it. Be human. And I'll say that would be my last thing to say is just be human first. Because if you're not being a human first, we're kind of missing the mark on grief.
Yeah.
Grief is definitely one of those things that, like you said, silent best friend, but also one of those things that can happen in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah,
right.
Sure can.
It can happen in the middle of anything. So just making sure you're checking in with self.
And so we just want you to know that our story is a reminder that leadership, resilience, and overcoming grief is not built in isolation. They're forged in relationships, promises, and moments that stretch us. And as we continue our journey, we want you to join with us along this podcast to reflect and to grow in both mental health and leadership resilience. And so we just want to thank you for being part of our very first episode. We want to thank the dopest executive producer, Chris Byford. And if you have any questions or you want to know more about us, go to WGTE.org/mindfuledge. And until we meet again, I love y'all double time.
Love you guys.
WGTE. Voices around us.